Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Monday, June the 29th. Welcome to Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo. Coming up, Burundi goes to the polls to elect parliamentarians and local government, but the elections are marred by violence.
Shooting was reported in Ngagara, Chibitoke, and Mutakura, where there are reports saying that two polling stations were burned.
The DR Congo halts chicken import from Turkey amid fear of bird flu.
We are afraid to eat chicken because where we were told that they are infected with bird flu, which is scaring us.
These stories plus a new installment of Learning by Ear coming in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Voters in Burundi queued up as early as 6 o'clock this morning to elect members of parliament and local government authorities. Police reports that several polling stations were attacked overnight, but the attackers failed to damage the voting materials. Elections in Burundi have had to be delayed due to opposition parties' contention to President Pierre Nkurunziza's bid for a third term. Shortly before we came on air, I spoke to our correspondent in Bujumbura, Apollinaire Niyorora, and he started by describing the situation at a polling station.
People are queuing in front of the polling station here at Buyenzi. It's in the neighborhood, in Buyenzi neighborhood. It's near the city center of Bujumbura. So people are queuing to exercise their voting rights of voting MPs in the legislative and local government elections.
Do these voters look worried because police have been reporting some violence overnight?
You know, Buyenzi is a place that was calm last night, so there was no shooting reported in Buyenzi. But the shooting was reported in Ngagara, Chibitoke, and Mutakura, where there are reports saying that two polling stations were burnt in Chibitoke and in Kamenge. But here the situation is calm. People are calm. They feel safe.
Have polling stations had to be closed because of this violence?
Well, here the polling station here it's open, but of course they opened at a late time because the head of the communal electoral commission, Sesi, resides in a place where there were gunshots last night in Chibitoke, but they have already opened. Now they are voting.
Was it very difficult for you to get to this polling station where you currently are?
For me, it wasn't hard because I live in a safe neighborhood where they rarely attack. They rarely shoot in my neighborhood. So it was easy for me. And it's also near the city center. So Buyenzi neighborhood, is a place which has always been calm, except one or two times where there was an incident.
Have you seen any foreign election observer or even local election observers?
Yeah, I saw some of them from the civil society. I saw them. But here, what is specific that I realized, if you compare to previous polls, is that security is very tight. So there is a check at every entry point. So everyone has to be checked. But before, in the other polls, 2005 and 2010, they didn't check like this.
Apollinaire Niyorora in Bujumbura. A few high-profile politicians have fled Burundi fearing for their lives because they oppose President Nkurunziza's third-term bid. Among them is Speaker of Parliament Pierre Ntaryuhanyuma. My colleague Sela Oneko has been speaking to Yolande Boka, a researcher at the Institute of Security Studies, about the impact of these high-level officials fleeing the country.
This is simply, you know, one more person in the government who's defected. He's definitely not the first one. We have the VP, the second vice president, who fled earlier last week. We've had the vice president of the Constitutional Court, who also fled a few weeks ago, along with members of the Electoral Commission. And that has yet to have an impact on the behavior of the ruling party.
And the main opposition and civil society groups have called on the people to boycott the elections. But at the moment, Burundi's ruling party holds over 90% of the seats in parliament. So what does the opposition hope to gain from this boycott?
I think the boycott is an attempt to call on the international community to argue that the electoral process is not legitimate. This is what happened in 2010 when the opposition boycotted the elections. And unfortunately, it was a miscalculation on their part. The international community still went ahead and legitimized or confirmed the validity of the electoral process. At this point, a boycott is unlikely to change, you know, the decision of the ruling party to maintain the elections and to argue that those elections are legitimate. What they've been doing is acting in bad faith. The international community, the East African community, and the African Union have called on the Burundian government to postpone the elections until the conditions on the ground were suitable for peaceful elections.
I mean, on that, on Friday, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for a last-minute postponement of the elections. So do you actually think that the international community has done enough to support free and fair elections?
The international community should have acted during the 2010 elections. By their failing to recognize the conditions in which the elections took place in 2010, they opened the door for President Nkurunziza to hold the elections as is at the moment. And then I think you also need to recognize that in some parts of Africa, the United Nations and the European Union and the United States have decreased influence on what the local dynamics will look like. Regional actors such as regional economic organizations and the African Union have much more leverage, it appears, at least in the case of Burundi, to impact the decisions of rulers and governments.
Concerning the boycott of the elections, the call from the opposition for people to not go and vote, how many people do you think will actually go to the polls?
Well, this is a very good question. In Bujumbura, you know, you may have a larger boycott than in rural areas. And that's because of, you know, two important factors. First is that the base of the ruling party, the CNDD-FDD, find itself in the countryside. So obviously, for people who are voting for the CNDD-FDD, the boycott of the opposition, you know, is more likely to be beneficial for them since they will have their candidates in power. And then secondly, the call to boycott may not reach a large number of the population throughout the country as most media outlets are controlled by the government. So I think you have two factors that may, in fact, reduce the impact of the opposition's call to boycott the elections.
Yolande Boka from the Institute of Security Studies.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
A regional summit on terrorism has ended in Kenya on Sunday, with participating countries resolving to share intelligence. Terrorist organizations like Al-Shabaab in Somalia and Boko Haram in Nigeria continue to pose a big threat. DW editor Shivaye Legese spoke to EU's head of political section in Kenya, Uwe Wiesenbach, on plans to improve Africa's ability to fight against terror.
Yeah, it's part of an EU package of programs that try and help countries in the East African and Horn of Africa region to be more effective in their own endeavors to combat terrorism and radicalization. And this particular program, which was in the planning stage, which would come up in at the end of the year or the early next year, is about helping the judiciary system and the prosecution to gather better evidence that can be used in court to prosecute terrorists. And in particular in working together, because a lot of these terrorism phenomena are obviously cross-border.
Countries like Ethiopia, Kenya, and of course Uganda are engaged in counter-terrorism operations for years. How do you evaluate the achievements so far?
Well, that is difficult to say. I'm not an intelligence specialist, but some countries have been targets of terror attacks more than others. Some have been able to thwart a number of attacks, among others Ethiopia. Sometimes it's luck, sometimes it's last minute, but there is a very little sort of systematic cooperation which allows these countries to cooperate and track, for instance, movements across the border. Another program that is already operational here is, for instance, tracking financial flows and help the central banks and financial investigation units of the different countries to work together to track down illicit financial flows, also money laundering and all that sort of things.
As you see these days, Kenya is being exposed for several terror attacks. Will it prevent this kind of attacks in the future?
Well, the future is very difficult to predict, so there's no zero-risk scenario for this. This is a very long-term challenge to everybody here. But what the program will hopefully do is to enhance the skills, improve the coordination of the different agencies involved, which has often been seen as gaps, as loopholes that have been used by terrorists in order to escape or in order to organize their attacks.
Uwe Wiesenbach, EU's head of political section in Kenya. Let's now head to the DR Congo, where authorities have banned chicken imports from Turkey following alert from the Turkish government that chickens that tested positive for bird flu in a Turkish town have been loaded onto containers and shipped to Kinshasa. The news created panic among chicken consumers after it spread across the media, urging the population to avoid the chickens. Patrice Chitera has been finding out how residents are coping and filed this report.
I am at Oshwe, an area where people regularly hang out in Kinshasa's district of Matonge. Here people like to have a drink while eating the main dish on the menu, chicken. But for the past few days, many customers have been opting for fish instead. Reports of the dangers of eating Turkish chicken have scared many customers.
We are afraid to eat chicken because where we were told that they are infected with bird flu, which is scaring us. For me to resume eating it again, it is impossible nowadays. I should have a strong assurance that the chickens are not safer before I can resume eating them.
The first assurance the government gave out a few days ago was to ban the import of chickens from Turkey. This came after Turkey's ambassador to the DR Congo warned the government that some of chicken which were supposed to be destroyed in Turkey were already on the way to the DR Congo. The government ban has also affected the consumption of chicken from other countries. But marketing specialist Jonathan Kandolo believes that it won't be long before the people trust the food again.
People are too much panic now, but I'm sure that it's just for a short time.
Nowadays, they don't really have means, you know. They don't really have means and actually means of eating, to buy food.
The DR Congo and especially the capital Kinshasa import a lot of food supplies, which means that many rely on the import for their daily income. Giselle Ngombo, a chicken vendor, is among the traders hit by the ban. She recently appeared on a TV show which was sensitizing residents about the problem. She told the presenters to be specific about which type of chicken people should avoid.
We can't sell any of our chicken. We have displayed our product since morning, but the clients are staying away. When we try to lure people to buy chicken from us, they say they cannot eat the chicken because it will kill them. So what about us? We have children, we rent houses. We don't know how we will end up with the situation. That's why we call on you to explain to the population that not all chicken are from Turkey and infected with bird flu, so that we can survive.
The DRC's government has launched a vast agriculture program aiming at ending the country's reliance on food import. But no one knows for sure how long it will take to reverse the current trend.
Patrice Chitera reporting from Kinshasa.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good day to you and welcome to our radio series Crossroads Generation, about a group of young Africans, the challenges they face in their daily lives and how they deal with them.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
This is the 11th episode called What More Do You Want? Previously, Mercy and Nikki visited Councillor Margaret to find out whether it was possible for them to have a baby together, even though Nikki is HIV positive.
What if I told you that under certain conditions, it is possible to have a child with an infected person and remain uninfected?
This is good news for Mercy and Nikki. But will they really go for it and try to have a baby? By the way, apart from Councillor Margaret, so far only Mercy and her close friend Tina know that Nikki is HIV positive. It's a well-kept secret because they're worried about all the prejudices against HIV-positive people. In the nearby slum, 12-year-old Sama wanted to introduce her friend Kadu to her sister Noni. But Noni had a seizure and Kadu ran away. It was lucky that Anita was passing by and heard Sama calling for help as she tried to calm her epileptic sister.
Oh, no! Wait, get that spoon out of her mouth. Did you put it there?
Yes, Dad says it stops her from swelling her tongue.
No, that's not true. Take it out. Pass me that pillow to rest her head on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. The fit is stopped.
Anita works at Kisimba Special School for students with disabilities, so she knows exactly what to do. After Anita had helped Sama calm Noni, she wanted to talk to the girl's father, Paolo, but they had to wait for him to get back from work. Let's join Anita, Sama and Noni in the Tandika slum as Paolo returns.
Sama, where are you?
Here, Dad, in Noni's room.
Ah, that's a good girl. You're always taking good care of yourself. What's going on here? Who is this?
Dad, this is Anita. Noni had another fit. It was very violent this time. Anita here helped me.
Thank you for helping us, Anita. But I'm here now. You can go.
Baba Sama, I work at Kisimba Special School. I think we may be able to help Noni.
You cannot help us, young girl. My daughter has been bewitched. So unless you're a sorcerer and can remove the spell, I suggest you leave me and my family alone.
Sir, we deal with children just like her at our school. I assure you, there are ways of helping her other than by witchcraft. We educate the children, but not only that, our staff is also trained to care for them in the best way possible. And there are therapies that could also improve her health. It wouldn't cost you a thing. It's all paid for by well-wishers.
Young girl, I said leave us. Who do you think you are? An angel of God? Just because you helped Noni does not mean you suddenly get to make decisions in my house.
Dad, please.
Shut up, Sama.
All right. But I'll leave you my number in case you change your mind. Here. Goodbye.
You too, Sama. Get out of here now.
Yes, Dad.
Next time I catch you bringing strangers into this room, you'll wish you had never been born.
I wish we had a car. What with all this rain? I don't know why the buses seem to stop running whenever it rains.
Well, you were too proud to accept your dad's offer to give us a car. Now you have to pay the price.
We're almost there now. Don't worry, my dear Mercy. Oh, no. Not now. It's my dad. I'll call him later. He's been giving me grief about wanting a grandson. I know that's why he's calling again.
Is that why you've been hassling me about having a baby?
Please, Mercy, don't start on at me again. I've said I'm sorry. It's just that sometimes I don't really feel that I'm loved. And it would be great to have someone...
Nikki, I knew you had HIV when we got married. And I married you anyway. What more can I do to prove that I love you?
I'm sorry.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Mercy.
Kadu?
Banda.
Banda? What are you doing here, my dear brothers?
Mom said you could visit if you wanted, but only for a few hours.
Your door was locked when you got here, so we decided to wait.
In the rain? Without an umbrella?
Well, we didn't know where else to go.
Come on, boys. Don't just stand there. Come in and get out of those wet clothes.
About these puddles. My shoes are all muddy.
Yeah. Have a nice evening anyway. Bye.
You too. Bye. Damn. What the hell is my key? It is. I hate this weather. My clothes are always soaking wet by the time I get home. I guess Dan may be right after all with that climate change thing he keeps going on about. I actually kind of like Dan. He's a simple guy in lots of ways, and in others, he's really deep. I think he quite likes me too. But when I think about how badly he treated Mercy when they were together, well, that was a long time ago. Maybe he's changed. What about Anita, though? I don't trust Anita. The way she looks at him. Maybe I should do something about it before she pounces. In fact, I think I will... who is this? Talk of the devil, Anita. Why would she be calling me? Hi, Anita.
Hey, Tina. Sorry to call so late, but there's something I really need to talk to you about.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think you could interview me on your radio show?
Interview you on my show? Sorry, I don't understand. You know what my show is about, right?
Sure, I do. It's about women, and I am a woman.
But not just any women. They have to be women who make a difference. Women who really...
Listen, would you just meet me, please, for a few minutes? Sometime this week? Then I can explain to you in person what it's all about.
Okay, say Wednesday at 10 o'clock at the university canteen. You can't miss it. It's the big yellow building.
Thanks a lot, Tina. I'll be there.
I wonder what she wants to talk about.
Thanks for dinner, Mercy.
Yeah, it was really delicious.
You're welcome, my brothers.
You know, I think I'll go to bed if you don't mind. I'm really tired. Sleep well, boys. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night, Nikki.
So, what did Mom say when you told her you wouldn't be coming home tonight?
She thought we were lying when we told her the buses weren't running because it was raining so heavily.
I'm sure she'll punish us when we go back tomorrow.
Don't worry, I'll talk to her. She'll understand. All right. As you can see, the house isn't that big. You boys can sleep on the floor. Just spread out the cushions over there. You can sleep on those. Good night, boys.
Night, Mercy.
Kadu, did you hear what our sister Mercy was saying when she and Nikki got home?
No. What?
Mercy said, I knew you had HIV when we got married.
HIV? Nikki has HIV? Isn't that the bad disease? AIDS?
We have to tell Mom.
Banda.
Yes, Kadu.
Before we came to visit Mercy, I saw something really scary.
What?
Summer's sister, Noni. I think she has the demons that Dad used to talk about.
Why? What was she doing?
She was foaming at the mouth and thrashing about all over the place.
Kadu, what if the demons entered you?
Demons? No. They didn't. I didn't touch her. And they ran away very fast.
And that's the end of Crossroads Generation for today. Will Kadu and Banda really tell their mother that Nikki is HIV positive? Nikki doesn't know yet that Kadu and Banda have discovered his secret, but he has some other concerns he has been confiding to his video blog. To find out what they are, just go to dw.de/LBE. And if you want to know what it is that Anita is so keen to tell Tina, don't forget to tune in again next time. Bye-bye.
And now a reminder of the main stories. Grenade attacks on polling stations have delayed the start of voting in Burundi's controversial parliamentary elections. The country is holding these elections despite weeks of unrest sparked by the president's bid for a third term in power. Authorities in the Democratic Republic of Congo have banned chicken imports from Turkey amid fear of bird flu. We've also been hearing about the EU's plans to support East Africa in its fight against terrorism. For comments and suggestions, send an email to feedback.africa@tw.com, a letter to AfricaLink, DW53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160-957-59510. That's 49160-957-59510. I'm Abubakar Jallo in Bonn, Germany. Bye for now.